Today on a soul-torching episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, misery loves company, such as the case for a young child being brought up in an abusive household. As he grows older, he starts to notice things happening in and around the house that cannot be explained as anything other than paranormal. Could these dark forces that linger in his family be the true source of such deplorable behavior? Could something evil have taken over the family and be coming for his soul next? We ask the question and dig much deeper on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online. Get access to all the bonus episodes, new ones every week for you, the whole archive. It's all there, and it's only $5 a month, and it's all commercial free. So if you're liking the show, maybe you're new to it, you're listening wherever you get podcasts, awesome, but you want all the content with no ads, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. It's Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Oh my God, Dad, that man in the painting is reaching out to us.
The Vigo, she's looking at the big painting of Vigo from Ghostbusters 2. We got one. It's not quite the movie size, but it's big. And it's on the wall, and it's creepy. Do you remember the part in the movie? It's been a long time since you've seen Ghostbusters 2, where the face like kind of pushes out. It's on a canvas. That would be kind of cool if we could rig something up behind there where it did that.
Just like the little Halloween decoration TVs.
Yeah, and I would tell no one that it does that. I would just be like, if I had a guest, like, just sit here for a second. I got to run some, get something in the other room. And somebody's sitting here looking around, and then it just does that. And we capture it on camera. That'd be fun.
That'd be amazing.
And then every time we do it, we can put it up on our social media. There's a great idea. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story today. It said that if you are of the light, the darkness knows. The darkness will follow you from one life to the next. For many years, I succumbed to the misfortunes that plagued me through my entire life. Fell into a deep depression as a young child, having been raised in a violent home life. As I grew, so did my appetite for destructive behaviors and self-sabotage. It was during this time others began to see terrifying truths about me. They said my eyes were like black marbles. I suffered many blackouts and fainting spells as a child, but I could also predict future events. For instance, once I stated that someone would fall off the springboard at a swim club I frequented. Days later, my boyfriend did fall off the high dive and land on the cement below. I was devastated, frightened by this news. I was 12 years old. As the years passed, I found myself in a world of substance abuse and violent tendencies. This led to many failed suicide attempts. I recall the first time at age 16, I had swallowed so many pills I should have died and never returned to the land of the living. In my out-of-body experience, I walked around the hallways of the hotel, conversing with both the dead and the living. I remember walking outside. I could hear my name being called, but did not see the person. The whole world was black and white, no color. The manager came outside and took me back into the room where my body laid. As I grew older, I began to see strange things occur. I was now able to see the dark forces lurking around me and others. Many times it was formless, just a massive black, glittering gelatin moving along like an octopus. I noticed it had noticed me, but never did it ever attack me. It retreated from me or its intended victim. I now understand why. I was meant to be a light force in the world, bringing only white magic and banishing dark entities from others. My son inherited this gift, and he too was haunted by dark forces in his waking life and the dream life. But I understand that these dark forces were assigned to me and whose only purpose was to hide my truth. They even made my own parents abuse me physically and mentally. It was these cruelties that led me to who I really am. I told you the things I could do just by speaking the words, it happens. I've asked that my enemies be known to me by way of nosebleeds. I've commanded winter storms that only existed in the surrounding areas of my home. The snow that fell smelled like electrical charges in the air, artificial, and it was magnificent. That sounded, it was magnificent. Okay.
Superpowers go to Avengers, not us. No judgment.
Interesting. I guess I don't know that, you know, I'm not you. I'm just going to say it. I'd love to see this in action. I'd love to see this proven because it's pretty fantastical. Some of the claims being made in here, some of them I understood. I get the whole, you kind of have this premonition of things that could happen. Like your boy, like you see somebody falling off the high dive and your boyfriend falls off. That's horrible. But I get there's a lot of people who have that ability. When we get to manipulating weather patterns, that seems a bit of a far reach. But hey, again, I'm not judging. I'm just giving my opinion that it seems like a far reach. I would be very interested to see that in action. The thing is, I have heard ghost stories of, heck, even Amityville has this in its story. Not that they created the storm, but I have heard in several cases where people who are in their home having some sort of experience and they believe it's some sort of storm going on outside. And weather-wise, when they find out, you know, what the weather, that wasn't even going on the day prior. I've heard of stones falling on homes. And they go out the next day and it's covered in stones. It's like, what on earth happened here? So I have heard of stories of weather patterns in ghost stories. I guess I've just never heard of one where the individual manipulates the weather.
The nosebleeds is also kind of a far reach.
I don't know how good, because we're talking here about, this person says they're there for a positive for good, but you're recognizing enemies by causing them something physically that's harming them. So I would almost kind of, and causing changing weather, that sort of stuff, it doesn't seem like it's more so on the good side. It seems like you're harnessing something more on the bad side, and maybe you think it's good. I don't know. But we'll leave that at that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to another letter. It says, hey guys, a friend of mine introduced me to the show a few weeks ago. Now I listen to the podcast daily, helping me get through the long day at work. With listening to everyone else's stories, I thought I would share one of mine with you. For a little background, I live in a city called Newcastle upon Tyne in England. We have many old castles and other such structures in or around the city where I've had many ghost sightings over the years. During one cold November, my girlfriend at the time and I booked up a ghost hunt at the castle keep. This is a small medieval fortification. The location even dates back to being a part of an old Roman fort. This being our first ghost hunt, I was rather anxious at the time, entering the main chamber of the keep, not knowing what it was going to expect, but began to relax as we were separated into our teams for the night. While walking around the castle, nothing appeared to be out of the normal until we reached the chapel. We first stepped into the room. The atmosphere felt different. The air felt heavier. There was a feeling that we were being watched while in the small room. We gathered in a circle and being asking questions to see if we could get a response from any spirits that were nearby. If anyone is there, can you please make a noise? We asked, but heard no response. As we continued to ask questions, the room felt as if it was getting darker and the air heavier. I'm not sure if this was my imagination or power of suggestion due to the situation we were in, but that was just the start. Trying a new approach, we placed a table in the middle of the room and began table tipping. As everyone placed their hands lightly on top of the table, one of us asking, if anyone is here, can you please use your energy and ours to move the table? No more than a few seconds later, the table began to creak and move across the stone floor. As the energy built, The table then began rocking from side to side and kept leaning towards me and my girlfriend. No matter where we moved, the table would always move back towards Becky and hang in place on two legs, with myself being a bit of a skeptic at the time. I asked if I could push the table onto four legs to make sure nothing was holding it up. As everyone kept their hands on top of the table, I moved mine towards the end, sticking up, and began to push it towards the floor. As I applied pressure, it was as if a force beneath the table was keeping it up on two legs, and as if someone was pushing against me. Grabbing my flashlight, I shine a light underneath the table to check no one was holding it in place. As I suspected, everyone else's hands were on top of the table and nothing was holding up its two legs. The group were certain at this point that we were not alone in this room and wanted to continue the investigation further to see if we could experience anything else. Our guide told us of the priest who used to work in the chapel, how he renounced God during his life, and that he'd bully those who worship the Lord. Deciding to see if we could get a reaction, we knelt at the altar and began to say the Lord's Prayer. Start off, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The room began to feel as if it got darker again, and those behind us swore they saw a shadow standing behind one of us, kneeling by the altar. As we almost finish up the prayer, the woman kneeling to my right begins to gasp for air and starts crying. Immediately, we stand up and rush over to her, making sure she's okay. After calming her down and asking her what happened, she explained that she was praying. She felt someone hold on to the back of her hand and began to push her head down towards the floor as if to make her bow towards the altar. At this point, the woman pushed to the floor and her friend left back for the main chamber. However, those of us that left gathered around a Ouija board that we were provided. The guide opened up the circle and we asked how many spirits that were in this room. The glass slid around the numbers as if unsure, then placed itself on one. We asked again, however, this time we had a different number, 5. Is there only one spirit with you? No. Is there 5? Yes. Did someone tell you to lie? Yes. Was it the same person who upset our friend before? Yes. Looking at each other, the group worried a little then and asked the spirit, "Do you belong to the castle?" No. The glass then moves towards Becky and stays there. Resetting the glass and not asking any questions, the glass would always move back towards Becky. "Are you attached to Becky in some way?" "Yes." "Can you tell us your name, spirit?" The glass begins to move around the table and starts to spell out ALBERT. Becky took her hand from the glass and looked panicked. I asked, "What's wrong?" She then replied, "That was my grandfather's name." At the time, I didn't know what her grandfather was called, nor did anyone in the group, and we didn't know each other. "Albert, is anyone else with you who can tell us their name?" The glass moved again to spell out WHISKEY. That was the name for his grandfather's dog. We have a few more things happen tonight. However, nothing as major as this feels. I'm due to go to another ghost hunt early in the next year and would love to share this story with you guys. Apologies for the long letter. Love your show. Keep up the good work. James.
Okay, but the whole "did someone tell you to lie" thing, It makes me skeptical about the rest of the story.
Why?
Because it could still be lying.
Oh, you mean the rest of the story that the ghost is telling, that it's the grandfather?
Yeah.
You're not saying you're skeptical of this actually happening. You're skeptical of the ghost.
I'm skeptical of the ghost.
Okay, yeah. I agree there. Where is it taking on and just saying it's somebody that she would trust? Because you'd be like, "Oh, grandpa." You know,
especially
but,
on a Ouija board.
Yeah. The thing is, a place like this, it sounds like they use a lot of methods that are fairly known to not be good practices because they can go bad quickly and just kind of open up a lot of things into one building. So I'm not surprised there's a lot of things there. But it just sounds like, you know, the place probably had stuff to begin with, but more things keep coming in the more and more people go through this tour and, you know, play with these, you know, devices. I'm not going to call them toys, but, you know, these things, I mean, they're toying with something that they shouldn't be toying with, I guess is the way to say it. So yeah, that's a creepy, creepy experience. It's so interesting to me, the letters that we get from the parts of the world that they come in, because it's so many concepts that I'm not, you know, familiar with. I mean, the idea, we have ghost tours here in the States, but just to think, oh yeah, you know, let's this Friday, let's go to that castle and, you know, it's just, it's such an amazing idea. But in some parts of the world, it's like, yeah, that's the castle down the road and this or that, you know, from another way other place in time. It's amazing to me. No, thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to this caller. Hi.
Hi, my name's Maggie, and I'm from Concord, North Carolina. I lived in a house in Bristol, Tennessee with my husband and two children. It was an older home. And we had heard some voices, the lights had turned on and off at times. But I never was afraid. It was just a... We just felt like it was just something that happened in that house, and maybe somebody had died and they were curious about what was going on with their kids, or, you know, it was just a very peaceful little house, and we knew that somebody else was there, but we really were not concerned. But one night I had gone to the grocery store late, and when I got home, my kids and my husband were watching television, so carried the groceries in, put them in the kitchen, and to get to my son's bedroom, we had to go past the kitchen. It was in the back of the house, and like I said, it was an older home, and you had to go past the kitchen, and my son was 3.5 years older than my daughter, and they were small at the time, and my son was in kindergarten or first grade, I can't remember. And so to keep his sister out of his bedroom, we put a slide lock on the inside of his door, and if he was in his bedroom playing or doing homework or whatever, he could use that slide lock to keep his sister out. And also, to get to the basement, you had to go through his bedroom. The basement door was in his bedroom, so we were afraid that our daughter would get in his bedroom and maybe open the basement door and fall down. So we had a slide lock on the inside of the door and a slide lock on the outside of the door because we had old doorknobs, old glass doorknobs that didn't shut well. So, to make a long story short, I was putting groceries away. And all of a sudden, someone ran down the hallway, very, very heavy footsteps, but they were running, and it shook the house, it shook the kitchen, and actually caused a few of the cans to fall off the counter before I could, you know, get them away. They ran down the hallway into my son's bedroom, slammed the bedroom door, and locked the bedroom from the inside with one of those, with the slide lock. And I said, for goodness sakes, Jonathan, my son's name, Jonathan. I said, for goodness sakes, Jonathan, what are you doing? And my husband said, Jonathan is in the living room with me. To make a long story short, my husband actually had to break the door facing to get into the bedroom. He had to break that. He had to kick the door in and break the slide lock, which broke the door frame, to get into Jonathan's bedroom. And to this day, we have no explanation who it was, what had happened, but someone ran down our hallway and went into my son's bedroom and locked the door from the inside. So that's my story. I hope I didn't ramble on. So thanks so much. Have a good day.
Are you wondering the same thing I am? What the hell was that noise?
More so. Well, yeah, I was wondering that.
The noise behind her?
I know. It sounded like almost screaming.
I know. And I was thinking like tea kettle at first because it kind of sounded like that. But I was like trying to find a pattern to it, too. I was like, is it just happening when she's speaking and it's kind of like a weird feedback loop or something? But it wasn't.
It was just so randomly.
It was, and it had different tones and different, I don't know, we've had now in the last month.
A lot of EPPs.
EVPs.
EVPs.
Yeah, not EPPs, extra podcast people, EVPs. Extra, because EPP is based on EVP. So.
Extra voice person?
What does EVP exactly stand for?
I don't know.
Electronic voice phenomenon. Is what it means. But that, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It was not in our music or anything like that. That was solely on the call. What are your thoughts on the story itself?
Okay. My one thing is, was it trying to get to the room or to the basement?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it mentioned the basement, and that just kind of gave me, like, something like, I wonder if it was running to the basement.
All ghosts want to go to the basement.
Like, check the basement.
Yeah. And I wonder whether is it because, you know, or is there really more ghosts in basements than other places, or is it more so what we kind of make of that because it's a scarier, darker place? Or is it because it is a little less trafficked and maybe if you're a ghost, you just kind of enjoy that being away?
Yeah.
I don't know. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
It's Karen again with another story about Tori that actually just happened last night. I started a new job where they have me doing like a late second shift that's only like 5 hours. And instead of doing like 2 to 10, I'm doing 6 to 11 at night. And I get home somewhere around 11:30. And I got home last night, and as I'm getting out of my car, I noticed that Tori's walking through the parking lot of our complex. And I was like, okay. Well, this isn't all that unusual because sometimes when her and Isaac start fighting, we all live together still, by the way, but sometimes when her and Isaac start fighting, she'll go for a walk to calm down. And I called out to her and I was like, hey, Tori, what are you doing? And she didn't answer me. In fact, I think she actually started to walk a little bit faster when she heard me calling out to her. And that's about when I noticed that she didn't have any shoes on and her eyes were completely closed. And I realized she's sleepwalking. If you've never dealt with a sleepwalker before, the number one rule is you do not wake them up. You never, ever, 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 ever wake them up because they're going to be disoriented and you don't know what they're going to do. You don't know what they were dreaming about that got them to get up and start walking. So all you do is you lead them back to a safe, comfortable place to sleep. And obviously the middle of the parking lot in our apartment complex is not a safe or comfortable place. So I get her up the stairs. Mind you, we live on a third-story walk-up apartment. So I get her up 3 flights of stairs and into the apartment. And about the time I get her into the living room, she collapses and falls back asleep in the living room. And you might be saying to yourself, well, where was Isaac in all of this? Well, he was at the gas station getting gas for Tori's car because he knew that she needed gas for work in the morning. And he came back and asked what had happened. And I said, you know, she was outside sleepwalking. And we got her up and explained what happened. And she was like, you know, like, I've never gotten that far before. Like, I don't know how long I was outside. And I was like, me either. All I know is that if I had come around that corner and pulled into our lot, you know, 10 to 20 seconds later, I could have hit you. And she was like, well, I haven't been hit yet. And I was like, poor, you don't understand. I could have hit you if I had been another, like, 10 seconds later. Like, I'm not okay with that. I went to bed a couple of minutes after I got home. And another thing you need to understand about Tori is that she's done this past life regression thing. So she has memories of past lives that she's had. And Isaac was sitting in the living room on his phone on Facebook. And Tori was talking to him, and she just, like, stopped in mid-sentence. And, you know, this is all coming from Isaac. He says she just stopped in mid-sentence. And he looks up at, and he looks up, and he's kind of like, hey, babe, what's up? And that's when he sees her in a daze going for the front door. And by the time he gets over to her, she has the door unlocked, and she's stepping outside. And he pulled her back inside and was like, Tori, what the fuck was that? And she explained that she was reliving a memory in an almost dreamlike state where she was remembering a time where she was about 14 or 15 years old, a life where she was about 14 or 15 years old, and she was being forced to marry a man that she didn't like. And to get out of the marriage, she jumped out of a window. And this morning, Isaac explained to me that he thinks that she was going to go jump off the balcony that's on the second floor leading up to our apartment. And I was like, well, I'm glad you caught her. And he was like, yeah. I'm really glad I caught her, too. But, yeah, that's my story. I will definitely have more because I've noticed that almost all of my stories involve Tori in some way, shape, or form because I don't know what the hell it is with that girl, but she's got something going on. She's got stuff attached to her. It's crazy. I'm not an EPP yet, but I am going to become one, I swear to you. Just, you know, things are super, super tight financially right now. So, but I love what you guys do. I love your podcast. I still listen to it. Granted, I kind of fall behind now with where I'm working. I can't listen to it as much as I used to. So I binge listen, which is almost as good. Well, actually better because I don't have to just stop after one episode when I'm caught up. I can just keep listening. but yeah, I will definitely call or write in again later. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Thanks for sharing your story. Thoughts?
Maybe, what was it, like the daughter, I believe? Maybe she's like a magnet to the spirit world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How so?
Just like, if all of her stories like kind of involve her some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you thought this once where like, when we went to that spaceship museum.
Mm-hmm.
And we... like, I believe it was the night after that.
Oh, when you were talking about blowing up in a spaceship?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might have been, like, something, like, almost, like, going through her.
Yeah, that was kind of, like, my thought, what we were talking about when you were two, brushing your teeth, talking about you died. You said, I died. And I'm like, what happened? I died on a spaceship. And we didn't go to any exhibits about people dying at that museum. It was very much just like, ooh, look, Apollo 13. And but we didn't like talk about any of the aspects of it because you were very little. It was just like, these are neat spaceships. So where you would have gotten that, I didn't know. And you were very adamant, though, that you died. And you were saying very specific things that were very bizarre. And I wonder, like, I know that's a past life more so than it's like, maybe something attached onto you in that museum that then communicated through you. Because in that museum, there is the pod of, what was the one that burned on the
Challenger?
No, there was one that burned on, it was like Apollo 1, or it was one of the Apollos. This is before even I was born. And they were trying to, it was, I don't know if it was like a test run or something, but the astronauts burned to death in that pod on the launch bay. It never went off and they got stuck. They couldn't get out. And they actually have that very pod in that very building that we had just walked through. And again, you were like 2.5. I didn't bring you over and say, hey, look, this is where some astronauts, oh, those are fun. You want to be one? Yeah. Well, they burned alive right here, flesh melting off their bodies. No, I didn't do that. I think we didn't even go down that way because I knew it was down that hall. And we just kept going and like, look, more neat stuff over here. But that's interesting that almost same message was communicated your way. I have sharp pains over here right now. Because
yeah, ripped a muscle.
Well, I ripped a muscle. Here's what happened this week. So I go to take the trash out. Now, I do tons of projects around here. I've never had an injury. I go to take the darn trash out. And I rip part of my bicep muscle. And so I have to go into an orthopedic surgeon this week and see what they're going to say. I can move my arm pretty good. But here's what I'm having more pain from right now. We got Nintendo Switch Sports. It's like Wii Sports, but it's for the Switch. And we played it yesterday. We played some tennis. And now my arm over here and this whole like muscle group on my other side is hurting. It's not pulled. It's nothing like that. It's just like if I move my arm a certain way, it's like, oh, yeah, because we a lot of swinging of the fake
bat.
Yeah.
Not bat. Racket. It's a racket. So. It's a racket.
There you go. But I see what you're saying, where it's almost like a vehicle to communicate through.
Yeah.
Using the person. Yeah. Interesting story. Thank you so much for that. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. And it's all commercial free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories or search Real Ghost Stories Online on the Patreon app. Until next time, for Harper and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.